Welcome to Shi'ar Jashub, coming from Shi'ar Jashub Christian Tabernacle in Madison, Connecticut, and featuring the teaching ministry of Pastor Greg Scalzo. Hi, I'm Patty Scalzo, and today we will be continuing a sermon in my husband's Bible study series entitled Paul's Message to Agrippa. When we left off last time, Pastor was reading from Acts chapter 26, where Paul begins to make his presentation before King Agrippa II. He tells Agrippa that he is happy to answer the accusations made by the Jewish religious leaders against him, especially because the king is expert in all Jewish customs and matters. And then in verse 3, the imprisoned apostle requests that Agrippa hear him patiently. Let's rejoin Pastor Greg, and we will go back a minute for context.
But some things you have to listen patiently to in order to appreciate the truth. I beg you to hear me patiently. And you need certainly to be patient. A person has to listen to you patiently to be able to really give them the fullness of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Sometimes that's why the gospel gets watered down, because the ministers find themselves in a position like the media of having to get the person with a soundbite. How can I catch them quickly with one word, one sentence? And you know, people have a lot of questions. And sometimes they throw the questions at you because they say, well, what about this and what about that? And in this situation, I heard this and I heard that. And you need time to explain. There's a lot of information the Bible gives us to answer the questions. This week we had a situation where we were able to witness to two people. But in all honesty, they listened patiently. They had questions and they listened to the answers. We were able to talk to them for an hour, 2 hours. We were not there, you know, trying to get the words out quick enough in order to catch the attention. So much of the American population, and it gets worse with every successive generation, quick speed. I need a quick answer. When you get a quick answer, it's not always the best answer. I beg you to hear me patiently. We need to pray that people receive a patient heart to hear the words of the gospel. And then verse 4 and verse 5, Paul reviews his past. He says, he starts off his discourse, my manner of life from my youth, which was spent from the beginning among my own nation at Jerusalem, all the Jews know. They knew me from the first, if they were willing to testify, that according to the strictest sect of our religion, I lived a Pharisee. It's clear, they know me. They know me from my childhood. If they're willing to testify, if they would get up and say the truth, they know I was of the strictest sect of the religion. I lived as a Pharisee. In Acts chapter 22 and verse 3, in another place, Paul says, he says, I am indeed a Jew. And this is very important to the conversation he's making, the witness he's giving to Agrippa. I am indeed a Jew, born in Tarsus of Cilicia, but brought up in this city, in Jerusalem. He was raised in the city. He was educated in the city at the feet of Gamaliel, some of your pronunciations will say. Gamaliel, a famous member of the Sanhedrin. Gamaliel, a teacher, a renowned teacher of the law. He says, I was brought up in this city at the feet of Gamaliel, taught according to the strictness of our father's law, and was zealous toward God as you all are today. So he had the education. He had the training. Yes, his father was in a city in Asia Minor, and he was a Roman citizen, but he was a Jew. There's implication throughout the letters and Acts that his father was a wealthy man, a wealthy Jew that had gained some prominence, and that's how he got his Roman citizenship, which Paul uses, but he's a Jew. And his father sent him and had him educated from childhood in Jerusalem and had him educated with the best known rabbi at the time. And he was brought up in the strictest of the Jewish religious sects as a Pharisee. In 2 Corinthians chapter 11, 22, he says, "Are they Hebrews? So am I. Are they Israelites? So am I. Are they the seed of Abraham? So am I." So Paul in Acts 22, 3 and 2 Corinthians 11, 22 clearly portrays himself as a Jew. Philippians 3, verse 3, "For we are the circumcision who worship God in the Spirit, rejoice in Christ Jesus. For we are the circumcision who worship God in the Spirit, rejoice in Christ Jesus, and have no confidence in the flesh. Though I also might have confidence in the flesh, if anyone else thinks he may have confidence in the flesh, I more so. I have confidence," he says, "in the worship of God and the Holy Spirit, rejoicing in Jesus Christ. I don't put confidence in the flesh, but if people put confidence in the flesh, I have reason to. I might have, and more so than others," he says in verse 5, "circumcised the eighth day, of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of the Hebrews, concerning the law, a Pharisee." So he's a Jew, he's a Benjamite, he's circumcised on the eighth day as a Jewish male, he's a Hebrew of the Hebrews, concerning the law, the strictest sect, Pharisees, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, concerning righteousness, which is in the law, blameless. As far as trying to follow the law, he tried to follow it perfectly. He was blameless. "But what things were gained to me, these I have counted loss for Christ. Yet indeed I also count all things loss for the excellence of the knowledge of Jesus Christ my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish, that I may gain Christ." If other people want to boast about being Jews, he's the Jew of the Jew, he's the Hebrew of the Hebrews, he's the Pharisee of the Pharisee, the student of the law as no other, and yet he counts that all as rubbish to know Jesus Christ. Clearly, Paul is a Jew. They know who he is, they know his life, and yet he's accused by the Jews. Why? He says, verse 6, he says, after saying, "I lived a Pharisee," verse 6, "and now I stand and am judged." He's in this situation, in this trial. He's being judged for the hope of the promise made by God to our fathers. I'm a Jew, and I'm here. The Jews are accusing me because I stand and am judged for the hope of the promise made by God to our fathers. Messiah, the resurrection of the dead, the kingdom of heaven. This is not a promise made to the Romans. This is not a promise God made to the Greeks. This is not a Roman idea. This is not a Hellenistic Greek concept. This is a Jewish concept. This is the promise God made to our fathers, Messiah, to whom the law, the Torah, the prophets, the Psalms, the writings, all point to. This is a Jewish promise of the God of Israel to the Jews. That's why Festus and Felix, they don't get what's going on. They don't understand it. He's not being accused because he's not being Jewish. He's being accused because he's receiving the hope of the promise of God to, he says, as a Jew, our fathers. This faith in Jesus is a Jewish faith, and it's based on a promise of the God of Israel. And Paul was more than competent, and we've seen it in other writings, we see it in the letters, to go through Genesis, to talk about Abraham and Isaac, to talk about Joseph, Deuteronomy, the promise to David in 2 Samuel, the Messianic Psalms, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Daniel, all the books of what we know as the Old Testament, to outline that the idea of Messiah is a Jewish promise. It's a promise by God to the Jewish people, the hope, the hope. I'm judge. I stand here for the hope of the promise made by God to our fathers. And Rome can't comprehend it, but the Jew can and should. Verse 7. To this promise, our 12 tribes, earnestly serving God night and day, hope to attain. NIV says, hoping to see fulfilled. For this hope's sake, over and over, the word hope. Hope is the hope of the Jews, the promise of God, the Messiah, and the resurrection of the dead. For this hope's sake, King Agrippa, I am accused by the Jews. Earnest expectation. We're waiting for this, he says. This promise, our 12 tribes earnestly serving God night and day, hope to attain, hope to see fulfilled. And this hope is for this hope's sake. I have a Jewish hope on being accused by the Jewish leaders. Notice who serves. Who serves here? This is an aside. To this promise, our 12 tribes earnestly serving God night and day. Who serves? Our 12 tribes. Our 12 tribes are constantly serving God, waiting for the Messiah to come. Notice that the 12 tribes are not lost to Paul. Now, there has to be enough of them left for him to say our 12 tribes. They don't have 10 tribes lost, they never come back. The doctrine that says that those 10 tribes are totally lost is false.
You can rehear this program and listen to hundreds of other Bible study radio programs on our church website at shiarjashub.org. We are also building quite a library of video teachings from our Sunday service live streams on YouTube. The Sunday sermon is live streamed at 10:30 a.m. and then posted on YouTube, Rumble.com, and on the church website itself for you to access at any time, day or night. Serious times require serious Bible study, and we appreciate any donation you make to Shiar Jashub Christian Tabernacle to keep this important scripture teaching ministry on WFIF and make the worldwide live stream and internet outreaches possible. And to this cause, we are offering a very special thank you gift for your donation of $50 or more. We will send you an autographed copy of Pastor Greg's award-winning book, The Nature and Power of Prayer, 30 Bible Lessons to Effective Prayer That Will Change Your Life. This is offer 102, and you will find a link to a secure page where you can make the donation on the church website. Again, it is offer 102, and the website is shiarjashub.org. And you can always check Isaiah 7, verse 3, for the spelling of Shiar Jashub. Please join us next time for Shiar Jashub, which in Hebrew means a remnant shall return.